Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 60 from March the 20th of 1993. We are still in Sevierville, Tennessee, in Caton's Chapel Elementary, or as Bob Cottle called it, Sevierville at the top of the episode. So I don't know if I'm saying it right. Is it Sevierville or Sevierville? I couldn't tell you, but Doc, how you doing this week, man?
Dude, I've had my Pop-Tarts already. I've drank my coffee. I am ready to talk about another legendary episode of Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Me too. I should have took a piss a second ago after we got done with that Patreon episode.
Just do it now on air. Do it on air. That's what we're famous for now. That's what we do right here.
I may try to do that if I can hold my laptop. But from what Harper told us a few weeks back, it's kind of hard. Harper, how hard is it to hold a laptop and take a piss?
Well, because you're still worried about fucking dropping it.
Get your wife to come in there and hold either your laptop or your little dingus while you hold the other.
I hope I can make it through this episode because I may have to piss in the
She'll whip out the tweezers and the magnifying glass and help you out.
I'm trying to see, man. Do we have a long promo in here somewhere that I'll be able to sneak out and get a piss in? Shit. God damn, I should have pissed. Okay, anyway, let's go. Harper, how you doing?
Doing all right, bro. Watch some Golden Girls.
I hear that. That's a good show. If we sound a little tired today, we just got done ripping on a 50-minute episode of World Class Championship Wrestling for our patron. And it was the first time all three of us did a World Class episode. It's worth checking out. If you're not a patron, I'm telling you, consider becoming one as we go through World Class Championship Wrestling. Amongst the many other benefits you'll have as a patron, all the patron episodes are up for your listening pleasure. It's tinyurl.com/bttpatron. Look, you can do it for as little as $2 a month. So I just wanted to get that out there. But we had a lot of fun. Doc and Harper ripped on the Von Erichs. Shame on them. I defended them and their good, wholesome image as they were good steak eating and milk drinking young fellas back in the 80s. Right, Doc?
Sure. Whatever you say, pal.
The Yellow Rose of Texas, man. Come on.
Heaven needed a champion.
Yeah, Heaven did need a champion. But real quick, how high was Kerry Von Erich, Doc, in that promo from March the 13th of 1982 that we just talked about?
Well, I would imagine that for a 2-county or 3-county area, everybody else was painfully sober because he did all the drugs in the area.
with his feather in his hair, sunglasses on, and Harper's exact response was after I played the promo, Jesus Christ! Yeah, boy. Okay, let's get into Smoky Mountain, man. You're right, Doc, at the top of the show. This is another hot one. God damn. These people in Sevierville or Sevierville, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Hold on. We were talking about this yesterday, but I want to get Harper's reaction.
Well, no, let's wait till that moment. Let's wait till that moment.
Okay.
When it happens.
Fair enough.
Because it'll lead into the discussion. So, all right, so we got Dutch and Bob at the top. Dutch's sign says, be quiet. Bob just got out of detox. Shh. Bob asked Dutch what Dutch had, and he said, nothing, just some scratch paper, as only Dutch could do. Down and dirty with Dutch will be Dutch talking to primetime Brian Lee and going over the rules of the chain match, which will be Dirty White Boy and Smothers in that match. And then we got... did I say that right? I can't remember. I don't know. If my notes are getting all confused there. But in the Beat the Champ match, we'll have Killer Kyle versus Tim Horner. I hope Kyle destroys Tim Horner. Anything from the opening, Doc?
You know, when he said that Bob had been to detox, I bet Bob could crush some gin and tonics back in the day. You know, those old guys could drink. So,
yeah. I got a picture of drinking some scotch.
Yeah. There's that.
You got to remember, Bob Cottle's generation, and I was talking to a cousin of mine about 5 years ago about this. It's right after my mom passed, and I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And he goes, man, that generation, they grew up on drinking every day after work. Like, that's just what they did. Not that our generation doesn't, but those motherfuckers would go to the bar or have their cocktails at home and would have 5 to 6 every night of hard liquor.
It was a better time.
Yeah, I used to, every time I would drive home from work, I used to always stop and get like a 24-ounce.
Get a and Mickey.
Then, yeah, and then fucking, you know, fucking wrestling happened. I was like, fuck, I gotta go to Wildcat after this. Fuck.
Wildcat saved your life, Harper.
That's right.
That's right. Wildcat
Von Erichs had it.
Blessed in being a blessing.
Yeah. Oh. Or okay. You could say that the back in the day, they just learned how to do both, and you should stop being a pussy.
That's true, huh?
Yeah, that's what Dick Murdoch, well, that's what Rod told me Dick Murdoch would do. Do both, asshole. Don't be a pussy, boy. Okay, well, after the opening, Bullet Bob and Mr. Yamaguchi from Japan come out. So let's listen to that promo right here. And, let's just listen to that real quick.
Right now, we want to bring our Smoky Mountain Commissioner, Mr. Bob Armstrong, out here, who I believe also has a special guest with him. Commissioner Armstrong?
You know, earlier this week, Mr. Yamaguchi here flew in from Tokyo, Japan, and presented us with a bill at the Smoky Mountain offices that we were supposed to pay because of the damage that one Kevin Sullivan had done while he was in Japan on his last trip. He had told Mr. Yamaguchi that we'd be responsible for that bill. Well, we're not. It's an out-and-out lie. When I told Mr. Yamaguchi what had actually happened, he got really shook up about it, and I can't blame him. And so today he brought his young star, whose name is Yokohiro Tanimura, and he's going to take care of Kevin Sullivan. I'm going to see that he gets his chance today.
All right. What about this, Mr. Yamaguchi?
Kevin Sullivan is such a liar. He left Japan in disgrace. Today I brought Tanimura, one of the best. He's going to learn.
That's right, and I'm going to give him a longer time limit so he'll have his chance to take care of Kevin Sullivan. Come with me, Mr. Yamaguchi.
All right, fans. That'll be right here. The Quality Inn downtown.
Do we want to save what we think about what Yamaguchi just said about Kevin Sullivan going to learn his lesson and Bullet Bob giving extra time? Do we want to save that until what goes down later, Doc or Harper?
I think when we all come back and revisit this, certain people are going to wish there were shorter time limits. And let's just say this is a warning of things to foreshadowing that things are going to go poorly for certain people.
Harper?
Yes.
Okay, that's sweet. Okay, so after that, I totally agree. Let's just see what happens later on in the show. After that, we do go to a Tracy Smothers promo, and I am going to play that. Here's that right here.
Fans with us right now, here's the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers. Tracy?
Yeah!
I got to ask you, though, Tracy, about this Tennessee chain match with the Dirty White Boy. That's going to be something unreal.
That's exactly right, Bob. But the first thing I want to say is, ain't it great to be alive and to be in the great state of Tennessee, huh?
God.
Dirty White Boy, April 2nd in Pikeville, Kentucky. We got a Tennessee chain match. Now, I understand that Mr. Ron Wright has handed that down to you, and that is his specialty. I'm going to tell you what, big boy. I don't care if you bring King Kong and Godzilla. You're not beating me in that chain match April 2nd, and I'm going to be the next Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. White boy, you burnt the rebel flag. You cost me $5,000. And just a couple weeks ago, the people saw one of the bloodiest brawls they'll ever see in any federation. That's the toughest match I've ever had in my life, white boy. I give you all the credit in the world. But I had you beat, man. And that Ron Wright come out of his wheelchair, and he popped me with something. He crossed my running lights. Now he's passed down the chain match. Hey, where I come from, son, if you can't get along, you gotta get it on. My paws, I'm a Southern-born, Southern-bred thoroughbred. You burnt my paws' flag, and I want to thank all those kids out there for giving me a new rebel flag. And I'm not going to let those kids down, and I'm not going to let the people in Sevierville, Tennessee, and all over the Smoky Mountain area. I'm coming out on limb, and I'm going to make a promise. April 2nd, Pikeville, Kentucky, I'm going to be the next Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion. So, white boy, I don't care if you're 6'8". Don't be late. I'll be waiting for you right there at Pikeville, big boy. I'll see you there.
The Bluegrass Brawl, and what a brawl. All right, let's go to the ring, fans.
God damn. Harper, I'll let you go first, man.
They love some Tracy Smothers, huh? It's so easy to get over on these fucking people.
Well, why can't Tim Horner do it then?
It could be just say, oh, yeah, you know, yeehaw, Confederacy. Tennessee.
Isn't that what he still does?
Yeah, but they boo him now.
Oh. Well, he does it in reverse.
Yeah.
He does the same thing, it's just in reverse. And and he gets heat. I mean, yeah. Oh man, Doc, your thoughts on this?
Did he say? Did he? Well, first of all, we are saying the now the name of the town wrong, but I don't really give a shit because I don't care.
Okay,
but
that's nice, Doc.
Did he say that his that's his daddy's flag?
No, no. He said my his paw.
Right, paw. I'm sorry.
Paw. Get that right. He said his paw.
Sorry.
Bruh, and I'm sorry. He's doing a lot of busting out some guts, bruh. That motherfucker's so over. God.
He has to be.
Well, if you listen to Bobby Blaze tell his stories too, he's like, man, Tracy knocked him down.
The yeehaw at the beginning.
That was a great babyface promo. My paw. You burn my paw's flag, white boy.
And I know it's a little bit trite, but if you can't get along, you got to get it on. Just
I don't care if you're 6'8". Don't be late. I love it all.
Yeah.
It's just it's him. He delivers it well. He's not Tim Horner.
Right.
Everything leads back to Tim Horner.
That's key here.
Okay. Harper, any other thoughts on that?
No.
Yeah, me either. So the next match is Lynn Fields versus Dirty White Boy with Ron Wright. Dirty White Boy comes out in his Yankee gear, and I don't have a notice to why I have this timestamp written down, but I'm going to play it anyway because there must be something here, and I just forgot to point it out.
Fans who are considering going to the Bluegrass Brawl on April 2nd, Pikeville, Kentucky, to get there early because I think the place will be sold out. Now, I think it starts at 8 o'clock for all you militarily-minded people. Of course, that's 2,000 hours. And for you people up there in West Virginia, the big hand is on 12, the little hand is on 8. That's about the best way I can tell them what time it's going to start.
I got that, Dutch. I got that. Hey, you know how you win that match? You got to take that chance.
That's why I did it. I didn't have the note. Bob Cottle, he popped Bob Cottle. Gia Cottle laughed, Harper.
Yeah.
Harper, your thoughts, anything from the soundbite before I get into the match?
You think Cottle, he must have been in the military, huh? You think?
Wasn't everyone back then?
Yeah, that's true. Like, that entire generation joined the military. Maybe so. Doc, any thoughts from that soundbite?
It's just another case of Dutch knowing the audience and what will turn their crank, if you will.
The big hands on the 12, little hands on the 8 for all you people out there in West Virginia. Okay, so as far as the match, Lynn Fields versus Dirty White Boy. Dirty White Boy wastes no time. He beats the shit out of Lynn Fields and gets the victory. Even after he beat... Oh, go ahead, Harp. I'm sorry.
Isn't it... I'm sitting here looking at Lynn Fields, and he looks like the bad guy in an episode of in the Heat of the Night, like the fucking redneck that drives the old Camaro, and he's like selling meth out of his trailer with the Confederate flag tacked up on a wall, and fucking Archie Bunker and fucking Bubba kicking the door, and they fucking take him to jail.
I haven't seen that show in so long, but yeah. Doc, did you get that reference?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I got it. Damn. Who's missing out now, pal?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. I agree, Harper. He does. But, okay, so even after White Boy defeats Fields, he continues to beat the shit out of him, and then he starts dragging him around the ring with his chain, which I thought was cool because he was displaying how you win the chain match, which he'll be going up against Tracy Smothers soon for that. Doc, thoughts on the match before I go to Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright's promo?
Total domination was my note.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, let's go to the promo.
He didn't even take the belt off.
He didn't. He kept his Yankee gear on, his belt on, his chaps, everything, his hat. Nothing left him the whole time. Let's go to the promo now with Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright.
Right now, fans, let's go. The Bob Cottle standing by with the Dirty White Boy and
all right,
Ron
fans,
Wright.
You saw right there with that chain, the Dirty White Boy, along with Mr. Ron Wright, and that's the way that chain match has got to be. By the way, I got a question for you. Let me ask. Have you been out jogging this week, by the way?
Bob, I'm in a wheelchair. What do you mean if I've been out of jogging?
I saw you get out of that wheelchair.
No, you didn't. I passed out. I don't know what happened. I don't even want to talk about that. You see I'm in a wheelchair, a nice upstanding Christian man like me, and you out here trying to let on like I'm a lion. I can't believe that. Now let me tell you, you see this beloved chain there? I've taught this man about everything in the world that there is to know about one of these chains, and people in here, they don't know how lucky they are to see a man of this caliber wrestling chain match that I've taught him what we're going to have done, none other than that Tracy Smothers.
Tracy Smothers, did you take a real good look at what just happened? Let me tell you something, Punk. I'll get it down real, real simple. There are no rules in a chain match. All you have to do is drag your opponent around and touch all four corners. There's no stopping for blood. Your dear, sweet old grandmammy can't throw the towel in. So, Smothers, if you've got the guts, one out the stinking guts, you'll accept this match, and we'll just see who walks out, because this legend handed this down to me, and I'm not, there's no way on God's green earth I'll let this man down. Smothers, this could be your last coup de grace.
The Bluegrass Brawl fans, we'll be back right after this.
Man, I'm ready for that. Doc, your thoughts on the promo?
I thought Dirty White Boy was very, very solid, but he was kind of overshadowed by Ron Wright being an old Christian man, good Christian man. Bruh. And Caudle popped the shit out of me when he asked him if he'd been out jogging.
Bruh. I'm going to ask Harper first, and then I'm going to tell you what I think. Jesus.
Right. He's the perfect heel, Ron White.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
It's the old, if you believe it, it's true.
Yeah.
That's how he is. He didn't get out that fucking chair. Fuck you talking about?
Bruh.
Didn't happen.
Yeah,
his reaction was priceless to what Bob Caudle said. I'm in a wheelchair, brother. What are you talking about? I mean, I'm a good Christian man. What the? He leans on the Lord, bruh. He wouldn't lie about anything. He was blacked out. Meanwhile, we got it on video, motherfucker. You got out the chair and you ran and knocked Tracy out. This is so good. It's hard to put into words. I thought it was excellent. That's all I can say. Anything else, Doc, from you on that one?
No, good stuff.
Next up is Tracy Smothers in a Rock and Roll Express promo. It's a local one. I'll ask you first, Doc. Did you have notes from this one?
I had two notes that don't require planning. One was Smothers, it never gets old, and the R&R is, it is what it is. They are that good.
Agree. Harper, what about you?
I didn't take any notes.
Yeah, well, it's a local promo. He basically repeats his line about his paw giving him the flag, so I had that written down. But it's nothing earth shattering. It's solid Tracy Smothers and Rock and Roll Express right here. And that's pretty much it. So that's what I had from it. All right. After that local promo, they have a recap of Arn Anderson. They show the reveal again. I didn't really have notes because we covered it in such great detail last week. Did you, Doc?
It's a recap I watched last week.
Yeah, exactly. Harper, you same thing with you?
Yeah.
Okay, so then after the recap of Arn being revealed, we get Dixie Dynamite and Reno Riggins versus the Heavenly Bodies. Arn and the Rock and Roll are on commentary, and Arn and Ricky didn't deliver any type of like hard times, great promo while on commentary, but they did their job of talking people into the building in an effective manner to me. Arn did say one line when Bob Caudle asked him about his knee being less than 100%, and Arn mentions that it's only 90%, but my 90% is better than most men's 100%. And then Arn also puts over the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette, even though he hates them. He says one thing that's so true when he says Bobby Eaton is one of the most underrated wrestlers. And then shortly after the Heavenly Bodies and Bobby hit the Alabama Jam and the Heavenly Bodies get the win. I don't have timestamps from the commentary, but I thought Arn and Ricky were really good here on commentary. Solid. Doc, your thoughts?
We had a Midnight's reunion here, as you get to see Bobby and Stan.
Mm-hmm. True.
Did you catch that Double A called himself the dirtiest player in the game?
Yeah.
I didn't catch it, but yeah, I hear you.
I thought that was Rick.
Well, it is, but you know.
And then the line I liked from Double A was, he turned to Caudle, I guess, and said, "Bob, I stay mad all the time." Getting him into the building.
Yeah.
But I also had a note, you know, the Bobby Eaton being the most underrated man in the wrestling business. So this is a guy he's come to exact revenge upon, yet he's getting him over. Good
pretty
stuff
much
there. Hey, it's a novel concept, right?
Yeah.
And then my final note on all of this was, you had Arn and Mort. Just let's take an inventory here. You got Caudle, Arn, and Morton on commentary. You have Corny and Dr. Tom at ringside, and Bob Eaton, Eaton and Lane in the ring. There was almost too much going on to pay attention to.
Oh, you mean from the commentary point of view? And
from the commentary
and the match,
you had two guys outside the ring that you thought were going to get involved at some point. The talent in the ring, because Dixie D is there as well. Just a whole host of talent, man. That building was weighed down with talent that night.
Pretty much. Your thoughts, Hopper?
Yeah, when you said the dirtiest player in a game, like what Doc said, I was like, wait, what? That's Flair.
Yeah.
Stop.
Well, you know. How much of the who do you think the people in the Smoky Mountains caught that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't catch it, man. I don't know why I didn't. Damn. I'm waiting for a shot from Doc on that one.
Shit.
I know I should. All right. So after the match, the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette cut a promo after they get the victory, and here that is.
All right, fans, right here with us now, Jim Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies. We just heard from Arn Anderson and a Rock and Roll. And let me tell you, they are laying for you. This afternoon, we may see the demise of the Heavenly Bodies.
Let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to be dead around here is Scorched Earth. Is going to be the Rock and Roll Express and Arn Anderson when we get finished with him, either this afternoon in Knoxville or at the Bluegrass Brawl. Now, everybody's been stirring up a lot of rumors. Bobby, come here. I want to get this thing settled right now. There's no tension in the Heavenly Bodies. Bobby, are you upset at Tom?
Nope.
Nope. I'm not. Nope. Tom, are you upset at Bobby?
No, I'm not upset at Bobby. I just think he's the reason that Arn Anderson's mad at him.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Ho. Wait a minute. Gee whiz.
I don't have none of that.
What do you mean there's no tension?
Just a little personality conflict. Hey, I told you. Let me just say this. Let me bring this thing down to a screeching halt. Sure, last week I was shocked when Arn Anderson showed up. Everybody else was, too. You know, the Rock and Roll Express, they talked about going to get a big star somewhere, maybe WCW. I figured actors, singers, dancers, clowns, no problem. But they delved through, and they got the one real wrestler, the one tough man. And it's Arn Anderson, Double A, the Enforcer. I've seen him go to work. I've seen him take people and tear them bit by bit, piece by piece. What the people are seeing is a six-man tag team match that comprises the five greatest tag teams of the past 10 years. Think back about 8 years. Who were the World Tag Team Champions? The Rock and Roll Express. Who beat them for the belts? The Midnight Express. Who beat them? The Rock and Roll Express. Who beat them? Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson. Who beat them? The Midnight Express. Then while Bobby Eaton and Arn Anderson, were going to the top and becoming World Tag Team Champions, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, who were the first tag team champions? The Heavenly Bodies. Who beat them? Rock and Roll Express. Who beat them? The Heavenly Bodies. It boils down to this. Whether it be the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, whether it be Pikeville, Kentucky, whether it be Smoky Mountain Wrestling, or the Superdome in New Orleans, or the Forum in Los Angeles, or Madison Square Garden, everybody in that match has been there, brother. We're just that good. So Arn Anderson, I'm going to tell you this. Just like you always said, a three-legged table, no good to anybody. You've had leg problems. We're going to give you some more. Stud Stable in Pikeville, Rock and Roll Express and Arn Anderson in Knoxville or at the Bluegrass Brawl. Nobody can stop these men, and there will be no problems in the Heavenly Bodies.
All right, fans, from Jim Cornette, and right now, let's hear more about the Bluegrass.
Doc, go ahead. What you got?
Bobby Eaton wasn't having any of that shenanigans at the beginning, pal. He was fired up. He fired up quick on it. When Dr. Tom, you know.
Did you see the push?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Right.
Bro, he's
yeah, and that was that. I mean, they did that real well. I was like, damn. And then basically, Corny just gave us a who's on first rundown of why this shit's going to be the best thing since sliced bread.
That was insane. Yeah, you were absolutely right on that. He basically just laid it out, you know, as best he could, why you need to be there. Harper, what'd you have from it?
I got confused when he kept saying who be who.
Well, yeah, he kind of went too far, I think. Yeah. Like, he could have stopped a little, you know, into it. He didn't have to keep going back and forth, but he was trying to sell it, but I agree. What else, Harp?
We got trouble in fucking paradise, man.
Bro, what did you think when he pushed Dr. Tom?
He's like, fuck you, bro.
Well, he kind of like knows, like when Cornette asked him, you know, Bobby, Tom, we're good. And he looks over and Bobby's like, yeah. And then Tom's like, let me tell you something, man. And Bobby's like, ain't nothing to talk about. It just fucking sends him to the next zip code.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was some craziness. So I thought I'm right there with you, Doc. This was good. Jim did his job to try to talk him into the building, get him there. So I thought we were good there. After that, they show another Bluegrass Brawl update video package with the banjo music playing. I'm sure y'all all love getting that again.
That
was it that bad, Doc?
I fast forward. I don't know.
I know. I agree. All right. So then, but then after that, we got Down and Dirty with Dutch. And so first, with Down and Dirty with Dutch, Bullet Bob gives the rules again. And then Primetime Brian Lee comes in to be interviewed by Dutch. So let me hit the play button on it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. But before we talk to my special guest this afternoon, Primetime Brian Lee, let's go take a look right now at Bob Armstrong explaining the rules to the Russian Roulette Deathmatch that's going to be held in Knoxville this afternoon. What's this?
You know, I had to insist that he gave me these rules, and only a perverted mind like Sullivan's could come up with this. Now, listen to this list of rules. I'm going to read them to you right now. Brian Lee will decide his own fate by rolling the dice. That's one dice. The number that comes up will be compared to the matches I'm about to tell you about. If it comes up to number one, they'll have a Prince of Darkness match. Both men will be blindfolded, and there must be a winner. Number two, a stretcher match. To win, your opponent must be carried out of the arena on a stretcher. Number three is a handicap match. Brian Lee would have to face Sullivan and the Night Stalker, two on one, all three men in the ring at the same time. Now listen to number four. The ring would be surrounded by four if the dice comes up on four. Look at your screen right now, you'll see a tape of this match as it was held in Japan. Now this has never been done in the United States. It would be a first for the USA. The ring would be surrounded by flames. Number five is the Singapore Spike match. A box would be placed on all four turnbuckles, and that one of those boxes would contain a spike. They call it the golden spike. And any man that finds that spike can use it. So the man that gets it first is going to do some damage. Now, Brian Lee's lucky number on this is six. If Brian Lee throws a six, he can have any kind of match he wants with any kind of rules.
Okay, you understand the rules. Now, with me right now, my special guest, Primetime Brian Lee. And, Brian, I would just like to ask you, today is a very important day in your wrestling career. Today, you're going to roll the dice, and whatever number you roll is the type of match that you're going to get. And I just want you to tell the fans of Smoky Mountain how you feel about this afternoon going into the ring in a dangerous match with the master, Kevin Sullivan.
Well, Dutch Mantel, important is right, but every day in the ring is important. But with Kevin Sullivan, what else can you do to me? I've been cut, I've been burned, I've even had broken bones. The only thing you can do to me now is run over me with a car. I tell you what, he talks about me getting there and rolling the dice, running with Lady Luck. Well, luck's on my side. Kevin Sullivan, I think I might roll your fate. And I think I've turned the corner now, and I think you may be seeing tombstones in your eyes. So, Kevin Sullivan, this afternoon, when I roll the dice, it's nothing but another day to me. You've done everything to me. Nothing else can happen. Primetime Brian Lee will come out on top.
Okay, fans, now you heard it from Primetime Brian Lee. Today in Knoxville, the Russian roulette death match coming your way. Don't go away. We'll be back in 120 seconds. Killer Kyle and Tim Horner coming right up shortly. Stay tuned.
All right, Doc, I'll leave it to you first. Go ahead.
Meh.
Meh? That's it?
I didn't say meh. I said eh.
Okay. Harper, what about you?
He doesn't.
I like the fact that he points out that you've done everything that you could do to me. So you know, what the fuck are you going to do to me that's going to be so different?
Mm.
I thought it was perfect. I mean, it was short and sweet, and I think that's what you need from him. I say that all mm-hmm. the time. He's at his best when he's short and sweet, not rambling on.
It just went to him. I didn't want to hear Bob Armstrong go through the matches again. That's poor.
Well, I had to take a fucking piss, so I don't know what you want me to say.
That's poor producing on your part. I can't blame the talent for that.
Okay, well, good for you. I'm glad you feel that way. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. Now, let's get to some really...
Boy.
What?
I'm about to drive over and Kevin Sullivan... You're going to be my Kanemura.
Well, while we're talking about Mr. Kanemura, why don't we get into Mr. Kanemura? And so let's just throw it into Kevin. Here it is. Okay, so let me set the stage.
Kanemura, play the beginning.
Kanemura, I am. Kanemura and Yamaguchi are with Bob Cottle. And I'm going to play that. And then I'm going to pause it, and we're going to react. I'm going to play and pause a couple of times throughout this so we get the full effect. So here's the beginning of it.
Fans and women, right now, we want to talk to two of our very special guests here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Sean Yamaguchi, what happens alive? Yukihiro Kanemura and Kevin Sullivan has just come out and attacked him. And he and Sullivan are going at it. Sullivan just came from behind. That was certainly unprovoked. Sullivan now with a headbutt. Dutch, what the heck is going on with Kevin Sullivan now?
Where did Sullivan come from? All of a sudden, he just came right out of the back and attacked Kimura right out of the clear blue. He's pushing...
he pushed Mr. Yamaguchi down. Mr. Yamaguchi had the belt in his hand, his coat, and his slacks on. He's trying to get Sullivan now off of Kanemura. And look at Kevin. The man has completely lost it all again, Dutch. He's a madman. You know, there's no telling what the roll of the dice has got in store for Brian Lee this afternoon in Knoxville. Not with a guy like Kevin Sullivan on the loose. This guy ought to be locked up somewhere.
Well, look
at the guy.
If you look,
heavens alive.
He is bleeding now like a stuck pig. Kevin Sullivan has opened him wide open, running his head down on the barricade that separates the security barricade right here that Smoky Mountain uses to separate the wrestlers from the fans.
He's a diabolical individual, Dutch. I've never seen anybody like Kevin Sullivan.
He just come out of the clear blue.
It was completely unprovoked.
I think this can go back to last week when Victor Quiñones was out here, one of the big shots.
Okay, I pause it right there because there's some more audio I do want to play after this. Bob Cottle in a moment is going to say, this is about the grisliest thing I've ever seen, and well, that's and I've had a comment. Just wait 30 seconds after he says that, and you'll see something else. Doc, did you have comments on just the initial attack from what we've heard so far?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Instant juice.
It didn't take long at all, did it?
No. Also, let's point out that at this point, Wing Kanemura is 22 years old. Just put that out there. Mm-hmm. He's a fairly young guy. Getting his start in this thing. It's easy to gloss over, based on what's about to happen, how much Kanemura bled from his head.
Yeah, he was pretty juiced up right there.
That guy was bleeding.
Right. So I think it gets lost in the mix that he had already cut a pretty good gusher from his head here. So he's bleeding. I mean, that was enough. Because at 32:40, I don't know if you're past that. Where are you at in relation?
I'm going to play before that, like a minute before. I'm actually about to pick up almost exactly a minute before what you're talking about. I'm going to play that. Bob Cottle says a few things.
Okay.
And then, okay, so let me play that part.
Go ahead. Go!
Right here.
Well, and I think he should be. I think I'm with Commissioner Armstrong. I'm with all the folks that feel that there's no place in professional wrestling for a man like Kevin Sullivan. The guy's mad. He's wild. He's completely out of control.
Well, fans, what we got now is an unscheduled match. Referee Mark Curtis is in the ring. They have ended up in the ring, and look at it. What a mess that Kevin Sullivan has caused on Kimura right here.
In the ring, he just continues now.
Ooh.
That's by heavens alive. That's about as grisly as you'll ever see anything.
I'm
telling you right now, something's got to happen here. There's a referee up there in the ring. He's got no control at all over Kevin Sullivan. There's nothing anybody can do about that.
Okay, when he says that's the grisliest thing you've ever seen, Kanemura's face is just red. And
spider-webbed.
They got a good shot of it. And Harper, what did you think about the juice job so far?
This guy looks bad. He looks fucked up.
You could say that again. He's pretty messed up at this point. I've seen worse, you know, juice jobs, but he's bleeding pretty good for just a couple, you know, not even 2 minutes into a match, right?
Yeah.
It's a heavy blade job for a weekly television show.
You damn right. Okay. So let's pick back up, and this is a little bit further into it now. They are on the floor. These kids here and people
That's
in this building.
That's my note. At 32:40, if you're watching, there's a mom right there that is horrified at this point and takes her two kids and moves them down away from this nonsense, apparently not knowing whether or not Kanemura is going to put Japanese hepatitis on her.
Okay, I'm gonna play now.
She's wearing a red like sweater shirt. So if you want to know exactly who I'm talking about,
yeah. All right, so I'm gonna play now. They're back in the ring. They haven't gone back out the ring where the major event happened. So let's listen in now.
Sullivan. Obviously, this is the way to look at it. It's a personal affair between them. Kimura somehow has found the strength to come back.
Well, Sullivan didn't put him away.
No, he didn't.
What a pounding and what a beating the young man has taken. But Sullivan didn't put him away, and he is dug down.
There's that spinning heel kick famous in Japan. Kimura stopping away.
Okay, he's about to pull up the spike.
Sullivan now in the corner,
across the ring.
There's a spike.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. That's horrible.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop. We did this on the YouTube thing, but the most impressive piece out of all of this is Sullivan producing the spike while being whipped into the corner turnbuckle on the run.
Yeah.
That's just fucking fantastic. I mean, he's on the run whipping a spike out of his tights.
That's a pretty impressive move, man. And then Cottle's reaction. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. He pulled his spike out. Yeah, Bob Cottle's reaction to it was just as good. You know what? Hold on. Let me see if I can get back to it. Here it is. Listen to Bob Cottle again.
They're chopping away.
He's got Sullivan now in the corner and across the ring.
There's a spike.
He's got that spike out, Dutch.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. That's horrible.
He's about to murder him. Here's attempted murder about to happen on TV. Stop the murder.
He's got a
on TV.
Spike there or something. Look at there. He's going. He's oh my God. He stuck it right into his bicep, almost in the fleshy part of the arm. And he's hanging on and he's stretching him out.
That's amazing.
Oh my God.
What is he doing to his arm?
Oh
no. That's unbelievable. You're talking about ghastly and something to look at. Holy cow.
Kimura is trying to hold back, but Sullivan has
Oh, my God.
He's got a death grip on Kimura's wrist, pulling him into the ring.
That's what's he trying to do to the arm.
Kimura is trying to get away, but no, Sullivan has him stunned. See, look at that arm. Hey, look.
Golly.
Wait a minute.
Here's the Night Stalker coming in.
You see the Night Stalker just made his way to the ring.
All right, we can stop at that point. Mark Curtis is about to throw up in the ring. Because he can't take the ghastly scene of it. And, we talked about this on the YouTube channel, tinyurl.com/BTTYouTube. Please go subscribe if you're on YouTube. You can hear us actually do live commentary of it as the match plays on. Yeah, Doc, I'll throw it to you, Hopper. You know, we've talked about this a few times. What were your thoughts?
I love it when you hear that little kid scream.
Yeah,
in the fucking background. And I don't know how much they paid this guy, but it wasn't enough, bro. Fuck that shit. Like, hey, bro, because how do you blade your fucking arm?
Painfully. You don't. Kevin Sullivan sticks a fucking knife in it and blades it for you.
That's what I'm saying. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah. Doc, you...
I'm sitting there thinking Bob Caudle for a shoot could not have approved her like this.
You're probably right.
He's probably like, this isn't wrestling the way it used to be or the way I like it.
And it's just pure violence and attack.
I guarantee you this right now. If that had been done on TV in 2017, there's a better than 50% chance that Kevin Sullivan would have faced charges.
Yeah.
In a wrestling ring or not. And if you can't call, if you can't say that Japanese people can't say L's and make it an R on WWE, then you sure as hell can't butcher a Japanese guy on television. For real.
Oh, man.
So here's the other thing. The story is, and I don't know, I mean, I wasn't there and I'm not inside on this thing, but the story is that Wing Kanemura was thankful for this because there were Japanese photographers there, and this made him a hero back home and set off his death match, sort of set his reputation back home as a pioneer of the death match and a guy who would do crazy shit to get over in the exploding matches and all that shit. So this was actually a positive for him, which kind of makes the whole thing seem a little worse than it really is. So this wasn't a one-time thing where he got taken advantage of. He actually wanted this, liked it, asked for it, was happy about it, and used it to build a career based on this kind of shit.
Yeah, he asked for it. I remember Cornette had... I'm going to ask Cornette about it again when we talk to him, but there's a clip from the show a few years ago that he did where he talked about this, and Kanemura was good with this.
Hey, look, there's my bicep. For real. I think I'll
stab that motherfucker. Put a blade in it. I don't know what else we can say, man.
And then it's like, so Larry Santo comes out, and I'm like, what made Larry Santo want to go be a part of this? I'd have been like, nah, fuck you. I made $34 tonight. That ain't happening.
Yeah, fuck that.
Larry Santo, I mean, Larry Santo's not a good guy. And
that dude was like, I got you. Yeah. I'd have been like, I got you back, way back. Fuck that.
So that, I thought about that. But I was thinking Bob Caudle had to be sitting there thinking, this is too much. I'm getting too old for this shit.
Highly likely, Doc. Highly
but
likely.
But again, think about it. Just a couple of minutes before, there was a mom who was like, I got to get my kids out of the way because this guy's bleeding from his head too much. And like 2 minutes later, right there almost in the same spot, he's carving a hole in that guy's arm.
Fuck that.
Now, let me pivot to something that we've been talking about offline this week. Harper, I'm going to ask you something. Is this not the one luckiest wrestling crowd in the history of wrestling?
To see this guy's arm get stabbed?
Well, no, not just that.
It's the same place as last week. So they saw Arn Anderson debut, and then later on were part of one of the most infamous legendary angles of 90s territory wrestling, and they saw Arn Anderson earlier in the night.
In some shithead town in fuck Tennessee.
They are the one. We gave last week a perfect 10. And then they saw all of tonight. Then they saw all of next week. This is the one luckiest group of shitheads in the history of the wrestling business.
Wrong, Doc.
It's true.
Let me say this.
It's a fucking elementary school, too.
Caton's Chapel. Maybe even a church.
Yeah. And so here's the other thing.
Stop the murder.
Stop
in
the
church.
Murder on tape. So yeah, this happened in a there's that. But you want to talk? Mike and I were talking this week about how many, what percentage of that group that was in that audience to this day realizes what they saw versus just, I'm going to go down to the wrestling matches versus being the, how many people in there know that they are the luckiest sons of bitches in the history of wrestling viewership?
They had no clue what they were about to watch.
They had no clue.
I mean, are they lucky? Yeah, they got to see Arn, and they got to see that famous angle from Smoky Mountain play out. Then they, I don't know if you want to call them lucky, seeing the fucking Japanese man get basically assaulted for attempted murder.
These dumb shitheads, the girls are like, oh, I got to see Tracy. He's real cute. And all the guys are like, yeah, and all the guys were like, hey, Arn Anderson was there. I see him on TV.
Okay, that's a pretty good invitation. Okay. Yeah, this was pretty fucking crazy, man. This was insane. I don't know what else to say, man. You know, that the Cornette had said it was just like, it wasn't that it bled a lot, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. But it was just
deep
like
injuries, deep injuries like that don't.
Yeah, he just was like, it was just this open fucking wound in his bicep in a hole, and it just was crazy. Arn Anderson's going to talk about it too in a minute as well at the end of the night on a promo. So, all right, let's move on from the attempted murder of Kanemura. Can we do that, Doc?
Yes. Sure.
So after what we just saw, we got Killer Kyle versus Tim Horner. My only thought is, why couldn't we slice and dice Horner in the previous segment? I think that would have got over well. Dutch tells us that Kanemura may need to go to the hospital after what we just saw.
May?
Well, no shit, Dutch. That's his exact words, may.
We've duct taped his arm closed so he could be transported to a... Well, let's be clear. There's probably not a reputable medical facility for hundreds of miles.
Whatever.
That got
Let's listen to Dutch and Bob Cottle give a brief update on Kanemura right here.
Our television champion.
Okay, fans, just an update on Kanemura, our Japanese visitor here to Smoky Mountain Wrestling after the attack by Kevin Sullivan, is receiving medical treatment right now. And they had to call the paramedics very quickly and may have to even go to the hospital for some more medical attention. What an attack by Kevin Sullivan. Right, Bob?
Boy, Dutch, I've never seen anything like that.
Fans, here is your Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
You're Bob Cottle. Dutch, I've never seen anything like that. That's not him acting.
Yeah.
He's keeping it real right there. Harper, I don't know if you had notes from that bit of the commentary, but what did you think?
He's probably thinking, you know, what the fuck's going on here? Where's the flying head scissors?
Where's the takeover set? Where's the headlock takeover, right?
Yeah.
Drop kick. Drop tackle, drop down. I didn't sign on for this, Jim. Doc, your thoughts on that portion of the commentary?
I think Bob's thinking about a better time when he and Dutch were talking about jalapeno pepper rolls and people being quick in the ring.
Yeah. With Hector, when he would do the jalapeno pepper roll back in the early Smoky Mountain. Agree. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I actually laughed, though. It's funny when you hear Dutch and Bob talk about it. It sounds like he may need to go to the hospital. Okay. All right, so on to the match. I truly disliked Tim Horner. I was waiting for Killer Kyle to just destroy him, but that was wishful thinking. I think the finish was botched a little with Jim supposedly hitting Horner as Horner fell down on Kyle, but he never hit him. So, but anyway, Horner gets the pin. Harper, your thoughts?
Yeah, they screwed up some spots, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I agree. Doc, anything else?
It was hard to concentrate after what we just saw, but the wrong guy won.
I can agree with that statement. The wrong guy won. We'll move on then. So we move on, and it's Kevin Sullivan and the Night Stalker now, and they've got something they've got to say. So here that is.
Fans, let's go right now to Bob Caudle standing by talking to the master Kevin Sullivan and the Night Stalker, and I'm sure they're going to be talking about that brutal attack that occurred just moments ago.
All right, fans, and with us right now, here is Kevin Sullivan and the Night Stalker. I have never seen anything like what happened earlier.
That's just another example of what the Master and the Night Stalker are capable of. Bob Armstrong, go all over the world, bring anybody you can, because you got to realize we can't be beat. Ask the Master. Anytime we're in the ring, you can guarantee every night some heads are going to roll.
Kevin Sullivan, you've been fined $5,000. The commissioner says he's going to collect it without a doubt.
I'm a misunderstood man. That Japanese man tried to hurt me. He made me mad. I don't like to get mad because when I get mad, I lose my temper. I get aggressive and I get angry. I feel very angry. Today, Brian Lee, you're going to see how angry I am.
All right, fans, don't go away. We'll be back right after this.
You know, I know people back then would go, man, I know that wrestling is fake, but that shit was real. It's the only thing I could think of when I was listening to this promo. But, Doc, your thoughts?
It's pretty calm for a guy that just assaulted somebody with a deadly weapon.
Hopper, you?
Did we lose Hopper? On mute. Did you go way?
Oh, this show's
Hopperizing.
This show's gonna be a lot of fun to splice up, man. After everything we've been through. Okay. Well, I asked Hopper what he thought, but either he's on mute or he had to take a piss. I would lean towards 50-50 on that. So. Doc, while we're waiting on Hopper to get back.
If you're at 50-50, you wouldn't be leaning either way. You'd be sitting straight in the middle.
That's true. Doc, while we're waiting on Hopper to get back, what were your thoughts on the local promo that's after Kevin Sullivan, you know, short and to the point, talking about how he butchered a man and he did what he had to do? We got a local promo with Dirty White Boy. Did you want to hear that one?
Nah, I'm good with not hearing it. I just thought it was chain matches are no joke, dude. You can't gimmick that chain.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. And it's not like anything we haven't heard from him. Hopper, you back?
Yeah.
Not back. Oh, there he is. Yeah. Okay. Kevin Sullivan's promo. That's what I thought. Kevin Sullivan's promo. What'd you think about that one?
I love when he says, he's a misunderstood man, bro. He's just fucking misunderstood.
He just tried to kill a man.
No, he's just misunderstood, man.
Yeah, he's
y'all
misunderstood.
Causing all this shit.
Yeah, y'all are causing. Y'all made me stab that man.
This is all your fucking fault.
Yeah, yeah. Y'all made me do it. Okay. Let's move along. Kevin Sullivan is nuts. So we Hopper, we're skipping the local promo because it's kind of a repeat more than anything from earlier with him and Ron. So I mean, he's promoting a chain match and not that it was bad or anything, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
All right. So now we got Arn and the Rock and Roll, and they're going to close out this episode. And it feels like we're on a downhill slide because, you know, that was a rough deal with Sullivan and Connie Moore. And now we went from that to Horner and Killer Kyle. And then Kevin Sullivan is now misunderstood. So now Arn and the Rock and Roll are going to tell what's going on in their world. But pay attention because Arn is going to talk about Connie Moore here as well, as this seemed to have affected him a little.
And right now, Rock and Roll Express, Arn Anderson. Arn, I'm in shock.
Bob Caudle, I just witnessed personally a 21-year-old kid from Japan being wheeled out of here. I'm not a sensationalist, but I can tell you right now, it's going to take probably 200 stitches to sew him up. Maybe everybody in this arena is so quiet because they're nauseous. Well, it made me a little sick. I look back here at grown men, professional wrestlers. They're sick. When I came to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, I thought I'd seen it all. Well, Jim Cornette, the things that you do to people in this ring are no shorter than what just happened to him. Maybe somebody hadn't had their arms split open or their head split open to that degree. But what you've done is you've preyed on all these people in the surrounding areas, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, North Carolina. You preyed on their wants, you preyed on their needs, and you preyed on these two guys. But you always did it, four of you and two of them. So who did they reach for? They didn't reach for somebody else that had a good heart, that always wanted to do the right thing. They came for the dirtiest player in the game. I'm capable of doing to you and your guys, Cornette, just what you just witnessed to this Japanese kid. You see, my heart's on vacation. I don't always do the right thing, and a lot of people are going to hold that against me. But in Knoxville this afternoon, you have my solemn oath of one thing. Bobby Eaton, you betrayed me. I depended on you, and you betrayed me. Stan Lane, I've never cared for you, your partner either. Jim Cornette, I am begging you at this point in time to whack myself, whack him, or whack Robert Gibson. This is something you may never ever see again. This is one-time shot in history. Arn Anderson, one of the Four Horsemen and the Rock and Roll Express. All I've asked of them is be all the man you can be. On this given day, Bobby Eaton, on this afternoon, I'm going to get to you some way, somehow. I may not do to you, and I don't really want to do what I just saw happen to him. But there's going to have to be some people around here snapped to attention. And Jim Cornette, no man that has ever had a jock strap on in his life is going to intimidate me or intimidate my team.
That's right, Bob Cobb. Because you see, Jimmy Cornette, you did a lot of things. But Knoxville is all going to come to a head. So you be ready, because the Rock and Roll Express and Arn Anderson are going to be waiting on you, brother.
All right, fans, that's going to do it for this week. See you next week. Our TV title match right here next week.
Well, I don't ever want to hear anybody say Arn can't cut a real good babyface promo as well.
Who that says shit
was,
that?
I'm just saying. No, because he was a heel for so long. I'm talking about in the 80s. And fuck, Arn is so damn good, man. Shit. Doc, what did you have?
My favorite line on there was when he said, "My heart is on vacation."
Yeah.
I thought that was a good one. I got the sense here that Arn didn't really like what he just saw. He was like, "Man, what's this Smoky Mountain shit? God damn. Can't we just fight like we used to back in the NWA?
And not stab people in their bicep?"
Right. You know, 200 stitches. And I'm just wondering if they sent him back out there to try to get some normalcy in the crowd to like, "Oh, there's Arn. Everything's back to being okay."
They were kind of dead during that promo, too. You notice that?
Right. I mean, yeah. You could talk about the Kanemura thing, whatever, but that shit sucked the oxygen out of the building.
We're not saying it was a bad thing. It just sucked the oxygen out.
It did.
It's like
a thunderstorm. When a thunderstorm moves through an area, it takes the energy out, and you have to let the energy build back up for another thunderstorm to come through. It's the same concept, and that just sucked all the energy out of the building. You watched a man get filleted.
Yeah, that's true. I had a thought about that too,
and that's why you pace a wrestling card the way you do, because you can't just come out and go balls to the wall the whole time. The people can't take it.
Yeah, Hopper, your thoughts on Arn's promo there?
Yeah, that shit definitely sobered up the fucking crowd.
Dude, and they are completely deflated after seeing that man get killed.
It's like, well, hey, goddamn it. We hate those jabs, but that might have been too far.
Bruh. Fuck, man.
I mean, it's a lot more humane if you just drop a nuclear bomb on them.
Oh, Jesus. Doc.
That's nice. Hiroshima, motherfuckers.
I'm telling you what the Smoky Mountains would say then and now.
That was pretty damn bad, man. I don't. Arn really had a good. That was a really, really great promo, and you're right. That did suck the energy out of the building. I wonder what amount of parents complained about what had happened.
None.
Like
back then, none.
Well, I'm sure some did, but
I think the TV stations. The TV stations probably complained more.
Well, of course. Yeah, it's true too. That's true. Okay. All right. Well, let me ask this to you all. Was that kind of like a strange episode, though, because of how the Kanemura thing went down and it sucking the life out of the building. Like a good episode, but at the same time, there was a little, I don't know how to say it. It was just strange to me after you see a man get stabbed.
Yeah.
Very, very different episode. Well, I should say strange. A man got fucking stabbed. How many times have we seen that in wrestling? You know? So anyway, all right, let's do some disability checks. Doc, you go first.
This is a hard one to do.
Because a man got assaulted.
Because I'm conflicted. Yeah. I like heat, and I like crazy, and I like wild ass, and I like people getting busted open. Not a real fan of opening up somebody down to the meat.
So you are right when he butchered Brian Lee in the head, but stabbing a man in his bicep may have been taking it too far.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
Head wounds bleed a lot anyway, though, right? You know?
Oh, hell yeah, they do.
Yeah. And he's sweating, so that fucking helps.
Yeah, he's worked up. So anyway, I'm going to say probably not as high as you would think on this, perhaps because it is famous and legendary, but give me a 7.9.
All right, that's funny because I did an 8 for like almost the same reason. It's to me, it's too legendary of an episode to really go any lower because of what happened. It's not saying that it's in the same ballpark as a hot episode that you would grade an 8. It's just a different type of 8. Does that make sense, Doc?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Harper, what would you give it?
Yeah, because I'll give it an 8, too.
Yeah, it's just a different type of episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. So, I do need to thank the Hall of Fame patrons at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider91US, Justin Rasmussen, at Shep Daddy 32, at USC 49ers Dodger, at Gerald Green 3rd, at T-Hog 94, at SV Pageant, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Arecci, Codeman 822, at Godbold Unreal, and at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. If you want to become a patron, please go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Sign up. You get access to the world-class shows. You get access to all the other non-wrestling-related content that we do and banter that we put up there as well. All right. Let's do the Government Cheese Award. I'd find it hard to believe that Kevin Sullivan does not get this from us. I mean, I guess Arn could, but I'm going with Sullivan. And again, it's a different type of government cheese. It's the type where I'm just like, holy shit, that happened. I don't know if I like it or love it. Doc, what would you say?
Well, I'm not giving it to Kevin Sullivan. I'm going to give the government cheese to Wing Kanemura because I think he's going to have to trade that government cheese to one of the locals for a ride to the hospital. And I'm hoping that he can use the government cheese that I'm giving him so that they don't take him out into the woods and finish the job on him because they're racist pieces of shit.
That's nice, Doc. That's nice. Doc, everybody from the Smoky Mountains ain't racist.
Everybody everywhere is racist.
That's not true.
Mm.
You live in a blind society. God damn. Harper, who gets it?
I'm pretty proud of you for getting that out without popping yourself because I know you're playing now. I hear the shit you say about white people all day long.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right,
Harper,
right.
Harper, who gets the government cheese from you?
The fucking Japanese guy's arm.
His arm gets it
for fucking taking it.
He can use the cheese to sop up all the blood.
Put some tussin on it.
Put some tussin on it. God damn.
Oh.
Fuck. Alright, hey, I want to remind everyone, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We could use some more. I hadn't been plugging that lately, but please do so. And then, while you're at that, use our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Give it to your wives, give it to your girlfriends, give it to anyone in your family who shops. Please do so. It's like I said, just a great way to support the show. You can buy anything and everything on Amazon. The holiday season will be coming. You know, we got to live, laugh, and love and all that good shit. So if you want to live, laugh, and love and spread some wealth, go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Use it, bookmark it, and it's a great way to support the show. Check out my friends, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, the Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett. Just search WPAM wherever you get your podcast from there. Episodes will come up. They're doing a lot of classic stuff these days, so I thought that was good, and I told them that was a good move on their part, I thought at least. So follow Harper on Twitter at CJHWhoDat. I'm at Mike504Saints. The show is at BTT_podcast. It's also on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, and click the Shop Now button. Check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. Doc, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Nah, bruh.
Harper, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No.
Harper, hit the tagline and take us home.
Book it, bitch.